Well, friends, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, found on page 1459, Luke chapter 2, page 1459. We'll be reading a number of verses from that chapter, and then we'll also jump to Luke chapter 15 as well as we continue our Advent series thinking about the angels, especially the angels surrounding the events of the Nativity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and we'll read through verse 20. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Then moving to Luke chapter 15, we'll read a few verses there as well. Luke 15, page 1489, beginning at verse 3 of Luke chapter 15. "Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, how many of you would like to be a shepherd? How many of you would like to be a person who tends flocks? I'm not talking about a sheep herder of today. I'm talking about the sheep herders of long ago, the shepherds. And as a matter of fact, in the land of Israel today, there still are shepherds much like the shepherds of long ago. They are Bedouin shepherds, what they're called, nomads. They wander around, and I suppose there are some differences between today's shepherds and back then shepherds near Bethlehem, but the shepherds there at the time of Jesus, I remember seeing shepherds outside of Bethlehem a number of years ago when I was in Israel. They lived right in the wilderness. Their house, if you could call it a house, was cut into a rock, and they penned in their sheep using the hoods of bombed-out cars from all the fighting that has taken place in Israel in the past decades. It's a meager existence. Shepherds are poor. They don't have roofs over their heads, and they make do with very little. Shepherds, to use a worldly expression, are as down on their luck today as they were 2,000 years ago. The job description has not changed all that much either. So how would you like to be a shepherd? In the time of Jesus, shepherds were considered the outcasts of society. They were oppressed, afflicted. They were poor. They were the lonely ones. Their only friends were other shepherds with other flocks whom they met at night as they watched their flocks. Perhaps the reason they were so lonely was their reputation. Their reputation was the fact that they were not able to tell what was mine from what was thine. They had a reputation for stealing. So they were looked down on by society. They were the meek and the lowly. They were the nomads, nobodies. They were, as one commentator puts it, despised. Despised. John Calvin writes, they were the persons of humble rank, of no account among people. How would you like to be a shepherd? It's really something that God chose shepherds to be first to hear the message that Jesus was born. He chose them first to hear the good news about the little baby born in Bethlehem and placed in a manger. God chose them? Why would he choose them? Shouldn't he have chosen, gone to the priests first? Or to the kings and the rulers of the day? Or to the people who obeyed his law so almost perfectly? Apparently not. God chose shepherds, the ones who practically didn't even exist. They heard about Jesus first. Listen again, John Calvin, who gives us the reason maybe for God's choice of shepherds. He says this, "Let us not be ashamed to follow those whom the Lord, in order to cast down the pride of the world, has taken from among the dung of cattle to be our instructors." That's Calvin. That's his take on shepherds, saying that God chose them from among the dung of cattle. God chose those dung-smeared shepherds to be first to hear the good news. How would you like to have been one of those shepherds? Imagine it, huh? Living out in the fields, wandering around night after night after night, watching sheep, losing sheep, calling sheep, chasing sheep, finding sheep, counting sheep, keeping your watch, watching your keep, meeting monthly with the local 243 shepherd teamsters. And every night you gather with your shepherd buddies around your favorite group of rocks and you tell sheep tales and you hum shepherd tunes for an hour or so. You've done it 1,000 times. And well before dawn breaks, your little group, it starts to break up. You can all do this in your sleep. In fact, all the shepherds, as if on cue, they begin standing up, stretching, starting to chirp or cluck or crow or tick or tock for their own sheep, hear your voice, your call, not some other shepherd, and your sheep start to make their way over to you. Your sheep know you. You know them, and soon they're all around you. It's time to depart. You and your shepherd friends are all ready to go to your separate, lonely shepherd ways, and you've done it so many times before. Just a few straggling sheep left out there grazing. They'll join you when you pass down the trail a bit. You think to yourself again, what a lonely job. What a lonely life. I could have gone to high school, got my GED, but instead this. What a dismal, dark existence. Well, you mutter under your breath, hoping to comfort yourself. I guess not everyone can be a shepherd, but it's not a whole lot to celebrate, let me tell you. And now the sheep are finally all separated, and you're ready to say goodnight to your only friends in the world, just a handful of them, six or seven friends who know, just like you, what it is to be an outcast, who know what loneliness is, who know what poverty is. And as you say goodnight to all of them, Caleb, who's always clowning around, Caleb, the clown, cracks the last joke about the upper class who live in the big town of Bethlehem. Caleb always manages to raise your spirits a bit, makes you laugh, enough to keep your tired feet moving for a little while longer. So you start to move out, all of you. But all of a sudden, the unthinkable happens. A light in the sky, like you've never seen before. Brilliant white light that you have to look at, even if it blinds you. You can't look away. But somehow you know this light, it's not going to blind you anyway. You sneak a peek at Caleb out of the corner of your eye. His mouth is wide open. He's not laughing now. He's just like you. He's terrified. His mouth wide open. There you are, all alone, you fearless shepherds. There you are, terrified. And yet no longer alone by any stretch of the imagination. How would you like to be a shepherd on that night, beloved? An angel of the Lord right in front of you. The glory of the Lord shining round you, lighting up the night sky. And you are petrified. Let's see what happens. You find out you're not seeing things, because if you are, then the things you are seeing, you are also hearing. And the first thing you hear from this warrior of light are the words, "Do not be afraid." And curiously, you no longer are. The terror, at least, has left you. The awe, however, remains. And all you want to do is look and listen, for there's more to come. We know the words so well, don't we? I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And just as suddenly as that first light of that first angel warrior appeared, there were hundreds and thousands of them, a great company of the heavenly host. But listen, what are they doing? They're praising God. They're giving God their praise. What are they saying? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Over and over, you hear those voices, those beautiful voices. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The voices fill the night air. Your chest is being pounded by the sound. It's a sound you can barely hear, barely stand to hear. It's that powerful, and yet it's the sweetest sound you've ever heard, too. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, over and over and over and over and over again. And just when you think you can't take it anymore, the sound begins to weaken a bit and then a bit more, and then you can tell you're starting to hear only the echoes of the sound. The angels are leaving. They're returning to heaven. Their light and their voices are far away now. And just a little while longer and you are alone. They've gone. The bleating of your sheep brings you back to reality. The other shepherds are still there with you, and you notice something about them. You can't figure it out yet, but there's a change. You even know you've changed. The cloud of loneliness, that shadow of your dismal life, is gone. For the first time in your life, you've experienced complete and utter joy. And friend Caleb and all the rest, you can see it on their faces too. You have joy, for you have been celebrating with angels. They began a joyful celebration, and at some point, you joined in and you got lost in the joy. And though the angels have gone, somehow that joy is still with you. It hasn't left. Hasn't left any of you. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. How'd you like to be a shepherd that night, beloved? And it only got better. You know, after talking with your friends, you know you can only do one thing. You know you can only go one place, to that place where he lay. Find that baby. And it wasn't long, and you got to see him, the very baby the angel announced to you lying in the manger. That Savior who is Messiah, the Lord. You saw him. And you told his mother how you knew. And you told his father too. And, Everyone you saw, you couldn't contain your joy. The celebration would never end. What a celebration. A celebration of angels, and you, a lowly shepherd, got to be in on it. After that night, after this extra strength in your legs finally gave out, when your adrenaline was sapped, you returned to your pasture and you couldn't help yourself. All the way home to your tent, you glorified God. You praised God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. You celebrated like angels. And you were only shepherds. What a joy it was. And finally, exhausted from the celebration, you collapsed and you slept, and then you woke up after a few hours with the same joy in your hearts, and you woke the next day the same way. Joy and celebration, and the next, it never went away. Your whole life was changed forever. Beloved, who of us here wants to be a shepherd? The thing is, I hope none of you does. For you see, the point is, these shepherds were changed. They celebrated with the angels. They celebrated their Savior with the angels. They were forever changed. They were no longer shepherds at all. That night, these shepherds, they became sheep. Sheep. And the first day of their eternal celebration of joy, it dawned. They were sheep for the very first time in their lives. And they celebrated with the angels. You heard that parable of the lost sheep, Luke 15. The lost sheep is finally found by the shepherd. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep." And Jesus says, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents." And the very next parable in Luke tells us who is rejoicing. It's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. Beloved, what about that? Do you think the sheep get in on that celebration? Oh, to be a sheep. To be a sheep when there's a celebration in heaven. For surely the sheep return home glorifying and praising God. Listen to words once more of John Calvin. Calvin is commenting on the angels celebrating the birth of the Savior, the birth of the one who will save his people from their sins, the birth of the one who will reconcile us to God, the one who will make us friends with God once again, the one who will give us eternal life. Calvin writes, "The angels begin with thanksgiving, with the praises of God, that we who were redeemed from death were redeemed for a purpose, that we might testify with the tongue as well as our actions our gratitude to God, that we might glorify our God." Listen now, Calvin continues, "The celebrating angels remind us that whenever our salvation is even mentioned, we should understand that a signal has been given, as if the trumpet were sounding to awaken us. A signal has been given us to excite us to thanksgiving and to the praises of God." Calvin is telling us what it means to be a sheep. It means celebration of the salvation we have in Jesus. We thank and praise God when we hear it mentioned, for we're changed too. We have joy in our hearts too. Celebration is a new way of life for us. The angels teach us that here in this gospel. The angels taught that to the shepherds. When the shepherds heard the word of the gospel from the angel, the shepherds were transformed from shepherds to sheep. They instantly rejoiced. Oh, to be sheep like those shepherds were. Glorifying and praising God. Oh, to have that excitement and joy in our lives like those shepherds did. Oh, and sure, you're probably thinking, I know, Of course they had joy. Of course they did. They celebrated with the actual angels. But look at my life. My kids crabbed at me this morning. My job? Joke. My marriage? A mess. My holiday cheer is a slow burn in a long line. My days are long and tiring. My nights are long and lonely, depressing. I'm just like all the rest in this rat race, hoping I'll have a job tomorrow. I'm just like all the rest, trying to make ends meet, and I'm already at the end of my rope. My life is as ordinary as the next person's, dreary, dull, damaged. Excitement? Joy? Celebration? For what? I imagine that up until Christmas Eve, that's what the shepherds thought too. The shepherds living their dreary, dull, damaged, dark, and dismal lives. But then they heard the message of the angels. The message of the Word of the Savior who brings salvation, who would forgive sins, who would make us friends with God again on the cross. They heard the good news of eternal life. The things were going to be made right again by this little baby. And then they saw and heard the angel's celebration, their celebration of joy. And somehow that night, the gospel became real to them. The good news became real to them and changed them from shepherds to sheep. And the joy and celebration flooded in and splashed over the sides. It was what made all the difference. Were they still shepherds by trade? Of course. Were their lives still difficult? Of course. But they were sheep now, with their very own good shepherd who was there lying in that manger. And that was a gift they would never forget. That was a gift they would forever celebrate. For sheep, even if they've never seen them, sheep celebrate with angels. Surely it's something those shepherds turned sheep never forgot to the day they died. Beloved, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, if you love Jesus, you too are sheep. And you too celebrate with angels. Let's never forget that. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have made us your sheep, that you have called us and you have turned our hearts to you, that you have given life to us, that you have called us to repentance, to tell you we're sorry for our sins, and you tell us immediately, your sins are forgiven because of the fact that I sent my own son, that little baby in the manger, and he has made you one of his sheep. Lord God, thank you for making us your sheep. And wouldn't you know it, so hard to believe, Lord God, that these sheep right here, all of us, are celebrating with angels. We can't see them, but you tell us we are celebrating with the angels in heaven. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. One day we'll see Jesus face to face. One day we'll see those angels. One day he will return. Until then, we celebrate with the angels. Praise God. In his name we pray. Amen.